be on our honorable and noble list in order to listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. We're waiting for our guest, whether he will be with us today, that is Dr. Adesanya of Columbia, South Carolina. I haven't heard from him. However, since we haven't heard from him, we perhaps going to go to a tape broadcast of a previous broadcast. Now, if anyone wishes to comment prior to that, you could press 1 on your phone and you will be heard. I guess we'll have an open forum, but I have an engagement to go to. We're hoping to celebrate the election.
Welcome to the Sunday edition of Religion Means Alive. My name is Askia Muhammad, and I'm thankful and grateful to be able to address this honorable listening audience and to also bring on Imam Alfred Muhammad, who will be addressing you this Sunday afternoon. Brothers and sisters, we're living in very special and unique times today. There's so much going on, you know, in the political world. There's a lot going on with the president and with the possibility of bombing Syria. There's a lot going on with the economy, our very culture. And the demographics of the country is shifting. We're becoming a pluralistic nation, a pluralistic society, more and more. In fact, when you look at the demographics, there are more languages spoken, or the languages that are spoken all around the earth are spoken here in the United States of America. In fact, the United States of America is perhaps one of the most diverse and pluralistic countries throughout the world. And we have to address this diversity, no matter what religion we have, whether we're Christians, whether we're Jews, whether we're Muslims, we have to address this diversity of people. And we have to assess how will our religion speak to this diversity? How will our religion speak to the different cultural traditions that exist in just the United States of America alone? In the cities across America, are increasingly becoming more and more diverse. And this places a challenge for our religious systems, because invariably our religious systems developed as one monolithic group, moving that religion and advancing that religion throughout the society, and then more people came into it. But it essentially developed as one monolithic group of people. When we look at Islam, Islam developed with the Arab people first. The Arabs were the initial ethnic group that developed the United States, the Islamic community. And we look at the Christian community, and we see that the Christian community developed right there in the Middle East, around Jesus' birthplace. We look at the Jewish community, and we see that the Jewish community essentially developed with the Hebrew people who became the children of Israel. And it spread throughout the world, and you see now Judaism being a diverse way of life, and Christianity being diverse, and Islam being diverse, and all of that diversity and pluralism takes place right here in the United States of America. And the issues that surround the type of people we want to be, the issues that surround unique cultural developments, the issues that surround the people who have different traits and have their own identity and have their own methodologies to serve God and to do the various things they do, educate themselves, etc., all exist in one place. There's a verse in Quran that says, to each is a goal that God points you towards. Therefore, strive as in a race to all that is good. Wheresoever you are, God will bring you together. And this concept of coming together, where God is bringing together the people from all over the world, and the world is becoming a smaller and smaller place, that time is today. And so the Christian has to deal with their Muslim relatives and Muslim family members. The Jew has to deal with their Christian family members, their Muslim family members. The Muslims have to deal with their Jewish and Christian family members and Buddhist family members of whatever, or whatever religion they have. The various religions take place right within our own families. And so we have to deal with all of these issues and matters. And then you have the homosexual community. They're developing and evolving. And it appears that they're moving at a rapid pace, but they've been pioneering and striving and struggling to get their voices heard, the gay community. Right in New York, the governor passed legislation allowing for gay marriage right here in New York City. And that is the law of the state of New York, as it is in different parts of the country. So how does Christianity deal with the rise of the homosexual population? And how does Islam deal with the rise of the homosexual population? Because we can address the issues. We can address the issues, you know, but we have to recognize that these issues are very close to us. And so Islam touches every of the human life. And what will happen is that it will bring to bear everything we believe. Everything that we believe, whether we're Christians, Muslims, Jews, whatever our religion, everything that we believe will be tested and will be brought to the public square for examination to test its veracity. If we say that Judaism is the right way of life, well, that belief system will be tested. It will be brought to the public square. And the challenges of our present-day society will test the veracity of the Jewish belief system. The challenges of our lives in the 21st century will test our understanding and comprehension of those who say that they are Christians. So that Christian belief system is going to be tested as it seeks to deal with the challenges of our social life today in the present. And so also the Islamic system, the Islamic belief system, that which God had revealed to Prophet Muhammad 1,400 or so years ago, that system will also be tested and challenged as it seeks to deal with the challenges that we face today in our lives. Deal with that diversity. And we know what the end is going to bring in that regard. We know that the truth will be the thing that carries on. The truth, the principles of truth from all of the religious systems will endure when everything else passes away. Because God is bringing this whole world together, and this world is becoming a smaller and smaller place. So small that there's no room for falsehood. There's no room for wild and crazy beliefs that have no relevance to the aim and purpose for which God created the human family. There's no room for it. And so we're living in very serious times. We are recognizing that we're living in the time of the rise of the common person, the rise of the common man. And this message have been trumpeted by great leaders who have come to our people. We could only speak of some of our great leaders here in the United States of America. A lot of focus was on Dr. Martin Luther King a few weeks ago and his great dream and the address that he gave to the nation. His address dealing with the ends of evil, the ends of oppression, the ends of discrimination, and the developing and evolving system of brotherhood and love between the members of the human family, regardless of race, regardless of skin color, regardless of ethnicity. So Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was on top of the issue, and he challenged division. He challenged discrimination. He challenged the oppression that existed for the African-American people who represented and still represents a minority here in the United States. And he's not the only one. We've had the Honorable Elijah Muhammad address the issues of division and discrimination. And his methodology was a little different. He believed that we should separate from the so-called white society and build a nation of our own. This was the Elijah Muhammad's position. His position was one of separation. And so you had the two men who were contemporaries of one another battling for the hearts and minds of the people. One presenting a position, the other presenting a position of unity or integration or coming together. And so all of this facilitated the evolution of our community today. And as those two leaders passed on, we had the rise of our great leader and teacher, Imam Waqf al-Din Muhammad, who was a Muslim leader. And the American public will grow to learn more and more about Imam W.D. Muhammad, who taught from the revelation of the Quran and who gave the people a light and a guidance in this modern time, and who took Islam and brought Islam in to the modern world, this present day, brought it back to its pristine purity and gave Islam to us as a gift that can address the pluralism and the diversity of this American population, as well as the pluralism and the diversity of the whole world, which is now becoming a village, becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, with the advent of communication and whatnot, this world is becoming a smaller and smaller place, and I'm sure the listening audience could attest to that. And so we are associates of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and you invariably are going to hear a message of unity, a message of brotherhood, a message of peace, but not a message that destroys who you are as a person. The beautiful message of Islam respects the diversity of the people. And you are able to be a Muslim and keep your culture and keep your life and keep your unique identity. In fact, God loves plurality and he loves diversity. And he creates all of us as human beings, but he has given each one of us a diverse system of life and a unique identity, all of us. And there's 7 billion people on the face of the earth. Each one of those people have their own unique identity, even though we're all one human family. And so this is the way God creates. He creates by establishing uniqueness. He creates by establishing diversity. And what we have to do now is to begin appreciating that diversity. And this is why God says in the Quran, he says, he created us, nations and tribes, that we might know each other. So the object of this diversity is to get to know one another. And what are we seeking to learn about one another? We are seeking to learn of the qualities and the characteristics, the talents and skills and abilities that God placed in each of us. This is what we're seeking to learn. And we will not learn anything about one another unless we come together, unless we have associations with each other, unless we network with one another, unless we sit in dialogue with one another, then we'll be able to learn and see the beauty and see the value in each other. See, this is human science. What we're talking about now is supreme social science. This is high wisdom of tapping into the human potential that we're talking about. And this is what will happen with us as a people. This is what will happen here in the United States of America. And I want to share this with you. This is happening right now as we speak. the human family is close enough to one another. God has brought us together close enough that we are beginning to tap into the wisdom and the skills and the latent talents that we have. We are close enough now in the world to tap into these aspects of our creation, some of which we don't even know we had. We have some abilities we don't even realize we had. God keeps them hidden, keeps them a secret until the right time, as those talents, skills, and abilities that God graced all of us with will be needed. And that time is today. And so we are communities. The first thing we have to understand is that we are people. We are unique communities right here in America. Now, the African-American people have been denied their sense of community. We lost our sense of community through the transatlantic slave trade and through the slave experience and through discrimination and oppression and mistreatment and humiliation. We lost our sense of community. And so in order to be on par with the rest of the world, the first thing we have to do is regain that sense of community. And we're working on that. We are seeking to regain our sense of community by establishing an economic base, having the courage to establish an economy emanating from the African-American community. And the Muslim, we are blessed, and we seek God's blessing. And we ask God to enable us to lead the effort to develop community life. And we believe the Muslim community among the African-American people will lead the effort back to our wholesome community life. And once we arrive at community life, will it be exclusive only to the Muslims? Of course not. It's going to be open for all people as a model and as an example for the people of the American society and of the world. And all of this, I'm happy to share with you, is evolving and developing as we speak. All of these new things, we're moving products and services throughout the communities, happening gradually. You see, growth is never quick. If you plant corn or potatoes, or if you watch grass grow, growth is never fast. If you watch your own self grow up, growth is never fast. You can't detect growth with the naked eye because it moves so slowly, but it is ever moving and developing, and this is what we have to understand. A lot of times we want to see the end result so quickly. A lot of times we want instant gratification, but we have to pause every now and then and take an assessment and recognize the growth that is already taking place, the energy and the spirit that is already present, moving us forward and moving us closer and enabling us to develop products and services that are beginning to move throughout the community. We are moving in the right direction. We have our faith and our total commitment in God, the Most High. No intermediaries. Only God between us. Only God as our leader. And the human examples that God raised for us to be guided by. And God raised prophets and messengers, leaders and teachers for us to take our direction from. And so we have that with Dr. Martin Luther King. We have that with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We have that with Imam W. Dean Muhammad. We have those in place that God, in our pathway, to lead us and direct us and to guide us. And all we have to do is become aware of what has already happened. All we have to do is become aware of what is happening in the present day and time that we live. We can't afford to represent the status quo. We cannot afford to hold on to institutions that have not yielded for us the progress that we seek to make. We cannot afford any longer to hold on to belief systems that is counterproductive for us and that do not provide a vision and a pathway for ourselves and our children and their children and their children. We cannot afford any longer to hold on to those things that are not producing for us the principles of production, the principles of growth, the principles of evolution is the very same. And so as Jesus was resurrected, the principles of Jesus' resurrection is the same principles as our resurrection as a people. Or the resurrection of each soul is what's necessary. See, it's not enough for Jesus to be resurrected and not us. Because if we're not resurrected, then we're not going to receive the benefits of God's grace and his mercy. And when we talk about resurrection, we're not talking about a physical resurrection. We're not talking about someone who's resurrected after physical death, because that's not a problem for God to resurrect you after physical death. God always resurrects you after physical death. You know, there's people that talk about these out-of-body experiences and how after they passed through what is considered death, they came into a whole brand new world. And then they come back and they live to tell us what they experienced after they temporarily died. So that whole process is not a problem. People have been living and dying since humanity has been on this earth. So that's not a problem, physical death. But the issue is what happens when a person dies spiritually, when they lose their way, when they become disconnected from their creator. What happens when a person is intellectually dead, when they lose knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and they are misguided and distracted from the use of their own innate intelligence that God graced the human being with? What happens when the intelligence of the human being dies and the person becomes subject to smoking marijuana or using drugs or drinking alcohol all of the days of their lives, and they lose their sense of intuition or their sense of understanding or their curiosity for knowledge and wisdom. You're talking about a very serious matter when a person's, when the flame of one's intellectual ability goes out and they're living in the real world. That's a serious problem. And what happens when the light of moral direction and guidance goes out, and a person loses their moral sensibility, could only look at this man who held these three young ladies as captives in his home for 10 years, abusing them, raping them, violating them, the days of their lives for 10 whole years. What happens when a person loses their moral standing or their moral compass? I'm sure every listener of this radio program will say that that is a problem. It's a serious problem. That not only we as Muslims have to address, but it's a problem for the Christian community and the Jewish community and all of the people of the world. We have to be able to keep, maintain, and protect our moral sensibility, or we're going to lose our way as a society, and all of the hard work that we put forth for change and for development is going to be lost. So when we lose spiritual direction, when we lose our intelligence, when we lose our moral standing and our moral sensibility, I'm sure everyone who's listening today will agree that we have to be resurrected. We have to be born again, as Jesus says. We need a revival. We need a resurrection. We need to come back into life again. And if Jesus was able to be resurrected, it's not enough for him to be resurrected. We also have to be resurrected. And this is why Allah says in the Quran, your creation and your resurrection is as an individual soul. The same principles that resurrected the prophets and messengers of God, where they were transformed after receiving God's guidance and his revelation to the prophets and the messengers. The same principles that resurrected them and gave them life and understanding and enlightenment again, that gave them spiritual direction and intelligence and moral enlightenment, are the same principles that will resurrect you and me, the common people of the world. And that transformation has to take place. So we're living in very serious times. All of this that we're talking about is taking place today. People are becoming informed and enlightened, and people are transferring knowledge and wisdom to one another, through one another, through the various forms of media that we have today, the various methods of communication. And we're growing as a people. This is the main thing. We're growing as a people. Question is, can we handle that growth? Can we handle a community that is economically self-sufficient? Can we handle a community wherein our schools are being developed by us? The teachers are being paid because the community has assumed that responsibility to ensure that the teachers are paid. Can we handle where we're going? Full community development, where we take care of our basic and essential needs as a people. And brothers and sisters who are listening, when we talk about this level of community life, these are not simple matters that we're talking about. You know, everything cannot be simple, like learning the ABCs. You know, things get more and more complicated. You know, kindergarten is a place where we learn basic and very simple things. But as we go to first grade and second grade and third grade, things get a little bit more complicated as we develop. And we cannot be shy or afraid that our evolution as a community and as a people with our own identity, we cannot be afraid that it's going to become a little bit more and more complicated. But we have the ability, we were created to handle the challenges and the vicissitudes of our present experience. We were created to handle all of this. We have the ability. And it will require everything that we have as individuals, all of our talents and skills to build this community. It will require everything that God gave us as individuals. Cannot afford to sit on the sideline and watch others. And we don't have the luxury to be mesmerized by anyone. We all have to get busy because this is a work in progress, and it's a work that we have to do collectively as a people. So, dear people, I hope with these statements that you're now ready. I hope I kind of spruced up the atmosphere so that I could bring on to this listening audience my good brother, who's a ball of energy and inspiration and enlightenment, the host of Religion Means Alive, Imam Alfred Muhammad.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive, and I tell you, I don't know whether it was deliberate or God made it possible, but the music came on, and I tell you, I feel like Daddy Grace used to feel when they hit the trumpets and the trombones, and the song goes like this, when the saints go marching in. Well, the saints are not going marching in, they are already in. I'm going to make some brief comments, and I'm going to bring on my colleague and friend, Ismael Kadar, the Muslim Young Man of the Year, a businessman in his own right, a speaker. He's not a motivational speaker. He's a transformational speaker. And I want to just make this brief comment on the 15th of September. Our dear friend, our dear sister, and one of our great leaders of the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, that is Aisha Khutbah Mustafa, will be our guest on Religion Means Alive. And I just wanted to also share with you some very great news. We had an anonymous star, I mean big in the culture, huge in the culture, to be our guest at the convention. I won't name this person. I want to put a lot of focus on this person because I don't want to cause trouble for it. But that person showed up. So we're off the groove. We're on the move. I'm going to introduce to you, straight from the presidential tour himself, Ismael Kadar, the Muslim Young Man of the Year Award. As I greet you in peace, I will return to the mic, God willing, to give my Sunday address. As you know, the second Sunday is economics and business. Next person voice you heard will be the voice of Ismael Kadar. Brother Ismael Kadar.
As-salamu alaykum. Do you hear me?
Walaykum as-salam. Loud and clear.
All right, we're going to make this. Make the little the music in the background. Thank you. Got it ready for the presidential tour?
Yes,
hello.
Sir. Bring
yes,
it
sir.
On.
I had to put a little. Yes, sir. That's the Black Republicans by Nas and Jay-Z. I like that instrumental. It symbolizes, you know, the, a little bit of the groove that I was feeling this morning. But we're going to get into some serious matters. Thank you, my brother. Email Askia Muhammad. Open up the show. Email Alfred Muhammad. Thank you for providing us with a beautiful platform to express some serious ideas. Now, I had a topic. We had our honored guest, Dr. Suleiman Yang, on. Mujahideen, my brother, my beloved brother Mujahideen, asked him some beautiful question. I was going to get straight to social economics, which I started out here early in this year, talking about social economics and the need to be not motivated for just making a dollar, but the motivation of feeding your brother, feeding the children, feeding your sister, and the social need that's more important before even the economic need, the economic understanding. And we get this story in our biblical language and our Quranic language in Cain and Abel, two communities. Imam Muhammad had reflected on that. But I'm going to detour a little. I'm not going to detour off the subject. I'm going to talk about myth and governance. Me and the brothers this morning, I've been wanting to give this talk before our beloved brother Imam Alfred comes on. The talk of social myth through governance, myth in governance, myth through governance, is going to deal with the fact that many of our people, just like Adam and original man, have been given they have been given a promise. There's a promise. The theme of this year's convention was keeping the promise. So I explained in a workshop how many of our people, we want the good things in life that Allah gave. Allah has given us the good homes. Wood comes from the trees, and the mathematics of the universe is based on the universe. This was essential during our Ramadan. We calculate the moon sighting, months, and AM and PM. Everything derives off of what is already here. So I said to us that Shaitan rushes to our hearts to influence us. And he gives us instantaneous success. He says, oh, don't wait for that good home. I can give you a good home. All you got to do is sell a little drugs. Don't wait for the nice woman and the beautiful woman that you have to work to get our affection. I could deliver this to you. I got a bunch of, you know, he'll use the language of whores and things like that. So we know that this promise that's in the original man's nature is a promise that man constantly cheats himself out. Shaitan constantly cheats him. He makes the man an object over that that material, that promise. So they have a saying, mind over matter. Not matter. Man makes the money. Money don't make the man. These are all sayings of that really understand the web of people being entangled with that promise. So in our community, Imam Alfred, I'm gonna tell you, he's marked his leadership in that sense, especially that I feel so grateful for, of saying let's first deal with the issues in our community. So what we choosing to do in the show is the African-American community, but also immediately talking to Imam W.D. Muhammad, our community, what our leader has blessed us with so much. So many people want the promise of establishment. So many people want the promise of respect in their cities. So many people want the promise of coming together and building new Africa. Now, what's the funny thing to me is that the schemers and those who sometimes get innocently affected by the heart of the scheme, they are very, I won't say wise, because if they was wise, they wouldn't be playing with this community at all. But I would say they're very perceptive on the fact that to destroy the promise, They must destroy the same thing that the plantation master worked on you through slavery, and that is us coming together. Do you know your salat is a expression of the men coming together, putting out what they doing and coming together? Not computerized coming together. Not singing and coming together just on sings and songs, and like we said we did in Africa in the military and chants, my section to your section, playing telephone. Coming together socially, the bond of social responsibility. Imam Muhammad has given us language. He gave us one language, something he said, that the brothers who picked us up, they ran a whole security business off just this one word, freedom through responsibility. So you got a promise to get freedom, but you ain't going to get no freedom till you become responsible for that freedom. So let's make the connection. Let's make this connection. How are we going to become the model community that is mentioned in the Quran, is mentioned in the promise we wanted and we made, like Dr. Rashid, our brother, was so beloved of saying this at the awards banquet. And most of you, most of us, some of us, they ain't even got the chance to hear what Dr. Rashid has said. So a brother, we had a conversation earlier on Facebook, but I'm not highlighting the Facebook conversation. I'm highlighting what is said over and over in this community, and this is myth. This is myth. Myth is, Imam Muhammad gave us local obligations. We don't have. There's no hierarchy in this thing. There's no king in this. I'm not going to Chicago. You know, I got my own responsibility. You're breaking the promise, brother. You're not breaking it because you may willfully want to break it. But your youth, your brothers, we have a commitment to each other. I'm not talking on the show about politics. I'm not here to talk about politics. And a brother gave a good quote that I was mentioning in the workshop, and it was inspired to me when I said that, what would President Obama look like not attending convention? What would President Bush look like not going to the Republican convention, or Colin Powell for that matter? It wouldn't be accepted. Those groups have enough understanding that they would never be in the position they were in if they didn't hold what we call Islam in your salat. We call that rank, or holding a straight line. But they're holding the rank. Now, you think there's no politics behind the board leaders of the National Convention? And I'm not saying that. Even Wallace has been an honorable. W.D. Muhammad, too, has been an honorable leader in that sense, a president. The president holding things together. And you know, a brother told me, he said, Ismael, if it was up to many of us who so-called are leaders, we wouldn't even have a convention based on, he can see this. See, business people ain't like, that's why Prophet Muhammad, and I tell people to start going into business, because there's many things, that lessons that you're going to learn, valuable lessons. No esteemed society that we have known to date, even the European who captured you, weren't masters of business. They were master of business. It was valuable lessons. Some of the Caucasians, driven nature, yes, it was driven, like the Imam said, by the curse of Ham and things that were read in the Bible, but a lot of it was dealt with climate, limited opportunities in their terrain. So they had to go into Africa because they were limited in resources. So this was a business-driven need. Backed up by a myth in religion, a myth that said you were capable to be sold because you're nothing but the curse of Ham. You made to be my son. And even in that curse, it's a business curse mixed with a spiritual curse. Amen. Explain. You're nothing but iron workers, and you're going to open up the wilderness for me with your spiritual nature. So these guys, these people that we have among us, they are keen to understand more than anything, not just your individual nature. Many have studied that. That's the study of man. not just your pluralistic nature, or not just single nature, but you and your wife, your product. Your wife, most of us ain't even making a product now. We have a children, but the children ain't making no product. It ain't a production of society. But this the third nature is more exploited than any other nature. They tore all those other natures down. The third nature is what time we in now, and that's your social nature. That's families coming in with families together, like the brother Alfred always talks about, the Arafat. But family, this is still going to third level. This is still going to this level, the third level, your family level. Now, social people who want to destroy societies, as we've seen with great literature that has come out, talking about the Ottoman Empire and how Saudi Arabia, even Middle East, was one section. And those who wanted to destroy that society started to break down the bonds, started to make them differ, started to break down the unity. And every leader I've seen in African American history, and tell me one, send me one that's celebrated on this level, from Martin Luther King to Adam Clay and Powell to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to Imam W.D. Muhammad. Send me one who didn't understand the significance of us coming together and our unity. So these social scientists send people to destroy that unity. These same social scientists will want to destroy the president and his message reaching the public through the TV, through the materialist structures we have. And the most people are ruled by extremes. What I mean by extremes? I mean by extreme behavior, meaning on one level, we have the revolutionary fighters who want to take your attention to Iraq, who say that America is nothing. But these same extreme nature couldn't stand up for the religious world. They couldn't stand up for the true freedom fighters, such as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who gave us one of the biggest messages to America. Imam Muhammad, I have a tape, and I hope you understand, the people who distract you, I hope you see, I'm going to play it coming up. If I have the permission of Imam Alfred, I'm going to play it. What Imam is saying, the reason why he was given on the Vatican, an invitation to the Pope, was that the studious among in the world have studied what has happened to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what he did, the remarkable success. And when I look at him, I see him meeting with Dr. King. I see him meeting with others who didn't share perhaps that view that we share. When I look at Imam Muhammad, I see him meeting with his own, not just this church, I see him meeting with great churches right there in Chicago. So the brother said to me, well, we're going through different gates. And I love my brother. I'm not here to this. I'm trying to get the myth out of governance. He said, we got all different gates. I couldn't get to Chicago. Now I said to him, well, I heard the Imam mainly used that with brothers like Farrakhan and Siraj, not with ones that were with him. But anyway, we all had different gates. That's where I met esteemed members in the military. They have a different gate. I'm not in the military. Esteemed members in education, like the brother that we met, that have talked with our president, NAACP, he's in a different gate. That's not my duty. I'm a business leader, and a lot of people haven't attended to the business. Now, he said that Mecca is important for the Muslim. That's our symbol. That's our unity. That's it. That's Mecca, Mecca. That's our symbol, our unity. And, you know, I have to address this because we have to address truth with falsehood. So I'm telling you, like the brother said that the convention at this present time, Imam Muhammad has said this, made reference how it was our Mecca, how it was important for us to come together. And one of the brothers said, well, you know, all it is an update for the community, for the Imam to give us an update on the affairs of the community. Now, say that's what you said. Don't say that's what the leader has said, because our leader said that the ninth month symbolizes labor, production, September. It's time to teach the people what this means. And he said, don't you know you should be networking with each other? The man didn't dominate us. The man didn't say, sit down and listen. The convention is, even carries a different spirit than Ramadan sessions of teaching. The convention, Friday, Juma, brothers interacting with each other, seeing each other from the whole parts of the country, coming people have established families off convention. Me and my wife, we met each other at convention, even though she was in Brooklyn. Brooklyn, I mean, I didn't even see her, the status of the masjid. So you're going to tell me that's not important? You're going to tell me that I don't know one venue where our people can see 100,000 Muslims right now, African-American, together with each other, sharing together, learning together, networking together. You're going to tell me that won't put no value in New Africa? A brother of mine, a friend of mine, and he's innocent, I love my brother, he said, I couldn't get to the convention. He said, I know what it was about, brother, and I seen, but I just couldn't get there. And I said to him, I said, brother, you have a product. He said, yeah, a lot of us got products, but we just couldn't get there. I said, now, brother, think about my socioeconomics. Think about what I'm saying. If 10,000 to 100,000 people will come and comes out, you get 10,000 people out of 100. You sell your book. You selling your book for $5 with the spirit of zakat, the spirit of charity is in the house and us each other. You made about $50,000 going back home. That's more you make for the whole year with your job. You only make about 30, 25, and you got to work half thing and get sick, and you don't even get that 30. So don't you see the sign? Don't you see understand what the schemers would try to destroy among you brothers and sisters? Don't you say that Martin Luther King, who said he was on a mountain, started a thing called the Poor Man's Campaign, and he was soon they found Dr. Martin Luther King? Imam Muhammad for years was speaking, very healthy man. Allah knows best. But CPC, there was a scheme to destroy his economic program. So the brother tell me, he said, well, the imam said, some of us got to stay home, rest stay low. Yeah, because half of y'all leaders out that were doing, it was better for you to stay home. It was better for you to stay home. If you disrupted my business, you disrupted AMCOP, you disrupted the world community in the West, you disrupted all these ideas, Elijah, you disrupted all this. I still want to see you every time. But I'm talking to the people now. My message not to those leaders. My message to the people that we need each other. This is a time.
That's right, brother. Ma'am, teach.
This is a call out. This isn't made for the weak. This is made for the strong. They say in that saying, only strong survive. Me and Mujahideen, we talk. Me and Alfred talk, and he's giving me an even stronger concept in the social responsibility. So check. See, we're not like a lot of the brothers that talk this stuff that made this look bigger than they are. If I see something Alfred gives me, I say that Imam Alfred gave me that, helped that idea. If I have something that he says, it's my Ilkadar. If Mujahideen gives me, because we add into the collective purpose. This ain't about somebody dominating over the believers. So he has a thing called social contracts that me and him talk about. It was inspired by a conversation we had, but he says social contracts. And don't you know that's what we're in, that stage, social contracts? You can't just even get a phone bill without getting a contract for that phone bill. Do you know the Quran, the way that it was given to you, is not just the God and mercy? You have no excuse now. It's almost a contract. Once you have it, that's why the Muslim who disagrees with it is in the middle of the Quran, a hypocrite. You mentioned Muhammad was mentioned not to even go in those messages. So I'm here to tell you, you liar, you hypocrite, you. You liar, you hypocrite, you. Telling the youth, teaching the youth. The youth is in the streets. That work you're doing ain't making no difference. You think it's making a difference, and this is where I go into my third. See, everything has a purpose. Don't think I'm just criticizing your work without studying it for years. The new imams in New York did the same. Imam, when he resigned, he said they love their government jobs more than their job for the community. I repeat, they love their government jobs more than their job for the community. So that means that, imam, no, they're not going to take W.D. Muhammad off their name and their meaning because he opened up the wilderness for them. He got them all these chaplain jobs, interfaith dialogue. These things, imam, even got me in the world. Security. You think Minister Farrakhan could get a federal security contract? You think they don't study what the imam has left us and has given us and said that community all right? Imam said, we have friends. We have some enemies, but we have a lot of friends. The promise was keeping the promise. Wasn't friendship all walks of life one of your promises? So if you got the wilderness open and now you're able to receive a benefit from the promise, how come you ain't keeping rank? Oh, yeah, my job is on. How come you ain't keeping rank? So I'm saying, not to get stuck there, I'm putting this on the floor, and I'm sparking this across the country with other brothers involved, young sisters involved. Ooh, we got some sisters, boy. In my one workshop, I think more youth turned out in that workshop than most, Imam Alfred attracts the youth. That's why I'm here with him. I don't give my ear to anybody. I haven't given my ear to not one of you brothers. And I know y'all very well. Y'all know I was top Arab in your Arabic classes. Know y'all very well. Mujahideen is a top Arabic. You know, this ain't no jest. This ain't no personality thing. And what I'm saying on the floor, before we get into Imam Alfred, not too long, is do not look back, just like the sister, woman of the year. Our sister who talked about the ark, get it on my Facebook page. We're not looking back. We're evaporating these conversations. I will not look back because you know what? You don't represent the future, and you don't even represent the present. There's 2.5 million, all you blog talk radio guys. There's a few that I respect, and I'm not talking about the brother I have this morning, you know, growing and respect him. I don't know him as well. But the majority of you blog talk radio guys, same thing as not keeping the promise, keeping the people dead. What I told you in the workshop, I said that they want to design and make clubs out of you guys, fraternities out of the community. It's not an open shared freedom space. We have shared freedom space. We have freedom through responsibility. The people that meet with you are meeting with the imam. They're not meeting with you. They're meeting with Imam W.D. Muhammad. You're just a representative. He said, I'm the whole community. You're just in it. You just, oh, but hey, like Mr. Farrakhan, who he said at the last Savior's Day with the original salute, you failed to turn over the troops, huh? You think that's you, huh? You believe that's you in New York, huh? You think that's you that got you in the correction. And what they do, what do the schemers do? The schemers use you up. Because you're less educated. They know what you're looking for because you don't respect governance. You don't respect leadership in your own. They use you up, and then some other group got the whole system. Some other group is opening, have Islamic books, and you wondering, oh, why imams ain't doing? Oh, man, I don't know. We was friends with this group. And they use you up. Because in every good action, remember, Allah tells you that in the Quran that there's nothing good that Shaitan don't try to put some bad in. So then every good thing and purpose is bad, so trying to surround it. Even in the messengers, Allah tells you, even your messenger. This is why so many people are confused. Why? Because you could take the Quran out of context. So you think Imam Muhammad language? You can't take it out of context. Imam Muhammad told his son, and he gave us this beautiful when we attended the address. He said, a lot of my language, stop looking back. Move forward. I'm talking about new Africa. I'm talking about new business establishment. Imam gave us a lot. You going back to 81. You talking about 78. Things that you ain't doing since 78. You ain't doing then. Why would you think you're going to do it now? And they keeping you just like a section of the Quran, See, I could read a section of the Quran and think that I could smoke weed and do everything and go to my salat. That's what a section of the Quran will let you believe if you don't have it out of in the context. The people who fight against Islam, what they do, they take things out of context and promote that in the Muslim world. And these are the schemers of Islam. So a person says, oh, I can do this. I have four wives and even taking care of one. Taking it out of context. When the Imam said later on in the Quran, it said, and none of you, most of you, can't even handle that responsibility. No man. So what are we talking about now? We're talking about not just social responsibility, but seeing things, like the brother said in his broadcast, which I respect. Like I said, me and his brother, he talked about saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, asking for protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. And not seeing things from your world perspective, your perception, asking for law. So you can't get this message if you ain't got it. And you can't get the understanding, like Imam Muhammad was guiding us, even of the Constitution, of the beautiful America, as well as you can't get the understanding because you're not got it. You're not got it. And we're not here to beat you up, but we're asking a resignation for all leaders who don't respect that promise of your unity, individualism. We had a beautiful time, and I'm not talking with an angry spirit at all. I'm here to whip the big Ahmed Majid said, whipping us up in shape. He's whipping. We're here to whip each other in shape, top shape. And we have to get rid of, first and foremost, like I told you about the social scientists, they understand the group life more than anything. And they have called us the web under your group life. They have made you fascinated. They go with one thing, they say one thing, oh, these people are good, man, these people in New Africa, da, 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 da. As soon as they leave that building, they say, these niggas ain't going to do nothing. I'm telling you what they say. I'm telling you. Hey, these niggas ain't about that. They group, you know, they talk. Socially, they even move. So you sit that circle around this one, I sit my circle around that one. And we keep them, like Imam said, he said if they had more knowledge of religion than local Imams, they wouldn't even be in the masjid all day. But now, do that mean they won't respect governance, though? Does that mean they wouldn't put no money, they wouldn't try to resurrect collective purchasing in their area? Does that mean the leader that has given them the light, they won't respect his office? What does that mean? Hey, the president, I respect the president's office, President Obama. Does that mean that I'm not doing my business? Does that mean I don't have a freedom to build Harlem and international trends? Does that mean I don't have freedom to build LDS security? But you can meet with someone who's not even a Muslim, who says he's Christian, or a Siraj Wahaj kind of character. You could get 300 imams and you could unite with that, but you can't unite with your own. Look in the mirror. You got some strong self-hate. You got some strong self-hate. And I'm not talking about Siraj Wahaj. Y'all run back and talk to Siraj. I know him personally. I respect him more, even though he's a floating brother. He floats. What I mean by float, I mean by floating that I could go to the same neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, that I grew up not too far from, and I could see in the middle of an African-American, Bed Stuyvesant, I don't see any African-American establishment on his block. And that's sad for Bedford Stuyvesant, period. Because I could go to Latino block and I see men, and they not even Muslim. Stop playing with yourself. Now brothers want to do tours. Now they ain't got nothing to establish. They want to do tours. Our tour is calling for establishment. We're not playing with your dollars here. I already have business. We have business. We have things that's coming in. I was already, alhamdulillah, we were successful in providing jobs. This is to get the message out, the call out. This ain't no message for our dollars. This is to build model community life. We want to see charter jets this year convention. We want to see charter commercial flights this year convention. We're sponsoring buses at this year convention. We're calling for sponsors to get with us so we can get our youth. I'll get the youth. I know the youth. The youth love me. I love the youth. I don't have a problem with the youth. I am a youth. That's why our brother said, oh, Ismael, you have a problem? You know, in this community, you've been saying, oh, the youth of the year, you know, you a man, youth man. They call you the youth man of the year. I told him, I am youth. I am youth compared to your thinking. I'm not youth in what you're trying to do to the people. I'm youth like it's mentioned in the Quran of the cave. I'm youth as they mentioned in the Quran and what we used to be when we had more respect for ourselves and we was a baby nation. Some of you think you adults and you not adult. You dead. You not adult. You dead. Dumb, deaf, and blind, Quran mentions. They never fell into this error to ask the guidance have reached them. So that means you walk around with your Quran, you walk around with your so-called alphabet, phonetics. My little brother Hanif, not trying to be funny, but my brother just is online. He got an ayatul pussy. You think we didn't learn that? You think we wasn't reciting our Baqarah at 2-5 years old in Khalid Muhammad school? I know brothers in the hood. They got a video with a brother that's in the hood. He's in the hood, and they thinking, oh, man, this brother ain't nothing. The Arabs is laughing at the black African brother. They reciting half the Quran in their store. But he in the hood. He go back to the hood. He probably hustling, doing whatever he's doing. Got his hat down and all that. That's not our problem, brothers. Our problem has been a social concern. The Muslim world losing the light. They got a Quran. They can recite. Imam Muhammad said they like parrots. They bats. They doing nothing but reciting, can't read. And what do you read? How could you read if you can't go into the universe? How could you read if you don't understand your inherent responsibility? How could you read if you don't see the symbol of you standing together, making salat, and you have to stop what you're doing? You think that's just Juma. What about your days? The Arabs don't have days? The Jews don't have days? Europeans don't have days? The Spanish will hurt you. If you Spanish and they talk about their parade, they'll hurt you if you try to come to New York and say you were Spanish, Puerto Rican, you ain't going to a Puerto Rican parade. They ain't asking about board members. They're not asking what's going on. That's because you've been hurt, and I understand you, brothers and sisters, but you got to wake up. Our leader was on his own property, and less people came to convention when our leader was alive. Why? Oh, they didn't have the amenities. They didn't have the refreshments. They were used to going to convention. See, we don't want those kind of people. That's what my call is. We don't need those kind of people. It's 2.5 million, and as I mentioned to the sister, she said, you know, when you're dealing with Europeans and stuff, sometimes that's double. I believe it is. But you're not tapping into the conscious, brother Iman. You don't have the language to open up the wilderness. We do. I say I do. We do. We do. So we're going to tap into these young youth, youthful, and youth don't represent, like I said, youth ain't just a man. And what? It ain't man teach you right. You brothers ain't acting, oh, youth. Youth is, Imam Alfred is a youth. Why? Because he represents youth. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was youth. He had a young man up there, Farrakhan. They all young, no gray. Imam said to us, this is what Imam Muhammad word was, I'm tired of having gray beards around me. So he means his thinking. Why you think I could so attract to the Imam Muhammad, my leader, W.D. Muhammad? Because he didn't have nothing like your feeling. He was nothing like you. I'm sorry to tell you. He was nothing like you. He respected you. He had mercy on you. But he wasn't you. Your brother got up one time and said, you know, Imam, brother Imam, I was at this convention. He said, brother Imam, you know, I'm like you. It was Ramadan session at school. He said, I'm like you, man. I see these imams, and I just want to peep the peaceful route. And go, you know, I just want to, imam astutely said, brother, you ain't like me. I was there. He said, you're not like me. Why? Because he was going, he had enough sense. Imam and Malcolm was going to save the day. Imam was in Philadelphia. Malcolm was in Harlem. There was, well, how many Muslims? 100,000 brothers would take their shahada off them bus rides, them trips. Like Alfred said, he said, don't put me in front of 60 men. Put me in front of 60,000. He told me personally that the reason why he had a public address and he made the public address free because he wanted to see new faces. He said this before he passed. Stop lying to the people. So what leaders? Do we have leaders? If leaders don't promote that, what kind of leaders do we have? We have promotional items. We have those who love their government responsibilities, love their meetings with the folk lottery, which we loved, and they were there. Members sent their members there. They love that, though. You know, I had a guy one time, he was in my business, and I sent him, and he was one of the best workers I had, and very good employee. And he started to want to get closer and closer to me, so I gave him his own phone. I got him his own iPhone 5 in the company's name. The amenities, I gave him relationships that he didn't have before. And the people started to complain about him because they said, this brother thought he was me. Now, I didn't have no complaint of that because, you know, you're my friend. I'm still going to show love. I'm not going to tell, see a behavior change. I'm going to show love. You represent me. You're an ambassador. I love you. But then I got to see what they were saying. He wasn't me because I love the people. He was trying to take my relationships, and he thought those was his relationships. And he was not beholden the truth. He was not giving up that 100%. He was not in dignity. He was being untruthful, like many of you brothers that robbed the E-Man, tried to rob the E-Man of, you know, even his business connects, try to come behind his back. And, brother, I'm telling you, we got to get out of this. We're not tolerating it. Social contracts. We not tell, like Mujahideen eloquently says in the thesis, we're working on things with our brother Suleiman Yang. Take me to the top of the Muslim world. I'll debate them on what the Quran, they're talking Qurans. They're not walking Qurans. We got to bring back walking Quran. Prophet Muhammad didn't say he was a talking Quran. It said in the Quran, is this a prophet? They say they make a complaint on Prophet Muhammad and say, is this a messenger that's all air? What did I let you know? That means that they obviously was complaints that he was such a listener. It was obviously complaints that he wasn't talking and being boisterous all day. He was walking. Many of you brothers can talk a good one. But when it comes to walk, you can't walk. You don't want to sacrifice. So I can't start no, we can't build no movement with you no more. Sorry. Do your work and stay home. You could paint the imam and drawings in your own house. But that's not what this is about. I don't have no disrespect to you, but just stay, leave us alone. When we doing what we doing, you see the spirit growing and believers, stop asking us questions. One brother asked me and another brother asked, oh, how was convention? I heard it 1 to 10. How are you trying to get us to rate it for you, man? This ain't Siskel and Ebert. The brother said it's 110%. I'm calling them all out. He ain't calling you out. I'll call you out. Another brother from New York, well-respected, I'm calling him out. He asked me, oh, convention, I heard, was there youth there? I'm a youth, man. I was there. You got to stop asking these reporters, man. You acting like y'all Siskel. You acting like y'all we call in the streets. We say, damn, all those questions, are you the feds? Now, I'm showing respect. I'm not disrespecting anything, federal entities or anything. But I'm saying that we got to stop as believers. We got to get out of what's mentioned. As you mentioned the Quran, which is al-Fatiha, the whole Quran is al-Fatiha. That's why it's the most important verse, al-Fatiha. You can't use al-Fatiha. You can't even make your salat. So al-Fatiha is important. Now, as soon as you learn most of the Quran, which is made very plain, you go into the meat and the law and al-Baqarah. And then what you see in that is not just the reverence of law. You see how many of us have the symptom to question our own plain knowledge. How many of us have the symptom to question what was made easy. Now, what I'm telling you is these distractors have put that in this community. They have made you question everything. Imam Alfred Ho eloquently puts a paralysis of the analysis. We are not in that time, brothers and sisters. We cannot analyze no more. Sorry to this young one, brother. He wants me to go to his house so we can play analytical war. I don't have no time for that, brother. If you knew how serious the world was and the commitment was, you wouldn't play with that either. If you knew how this work was respected in Chicago, how children is infected, you wouldn't play with this either. And I'm just going to leave with this, that if you had 50,000, we're going to have. We already got commitments. It's grown by the day. It's grown more faster than I thought music was growing. I sold 20,000 units, and you should see how much it's growing. The people in convention were sincere. Now, I'm not talking to those who missed it because of scheduling or situations. We love you. I'm not talking to people who missed it because of, their work obligations. But I'm going to tell you this to those. Brother Hazik, our Imam Hazik, young brother from the West Coast who hosted it, he said something eloquent. He said they're not going to give you time or to establish the model community. I repeat, they're not going to give you any time off to establish a model community. So that group, those are our allies, those are friends. But if we depend on them, trust me, Malcolm said the same thing. Malcolm said if I depend on them, he said I had to take the road Jesus had. Amen was like a Jesus. Now what Jesus did? Oh man, Jesus had to deal with them disciples, the mugs and the thieves, the blood. Because Malcolm said that the doctor was prescribing medicine for Caesar. The lawyer was already trying to do the law for Caesar. Now I'm not disrespecting those people, but you gotta understand that if I wait on them, the world, they never have fixed the world. They have never been a heart to fix the world. You affect them, but they come like that's the middle. That's why they call them middle class. That's affected, but that's not the strength of the body. We have to understand. In Islam, it tells you that even when it's all over your shoulders is the strength. The Christians have made more abuses on the heart and love than we could even imagine. So we got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that you're in love with a society that you don't have any freedom. You have potential freedom, but you don't have the freedom of a group's. I go to the Jewish neighborhood, you worrying about Trayvon Martin. But you go to New York and go to the Jewish neighborhood, people, as soon as I enter that neighborhood, somebody's looking at me. I got five, not even police, I got five private security firms. Even Africa vouched this. Hebrew on their buses. You get mad about that. Oh, man, Jew. Man, they doing what they supposed to do. They responding to their ability, responsibility.
That's right.
You playing with your ability. You say, oh, man, if you think we never support our events, you don't have any event we going to. There's no event in this community. Mali, all these, I respect them, but I'm saying there's nothing that calls us that was established by our leader that pulls us together like the convention and Savior's Day. And let us be our goal. Look, 100,000 Muslims come. You got one book, you make a dollar, even if you went there begging, which we don't tempt people to beg. You leave with $100,000. Or something close to it. So we not here. Do you think our leader understand this when he said that? That's what you. And we have people like. Well, remember, Prophet Muhammad said business relationships. So I'm not saying the only strategy is us coming with goods and service. No, I met so many relationships that there's certain things we're doing. The tour came out of convention. We got facilities that's being built. Dr. Sharif, the brother has three hotels coming. He made it noted that. He noted that he needed us to support his hotels. The Indians own 95% of the hotel industry. I had a private meeting with his chief operating officer for 2 hours. He's going to fly in. We're doing some things. Now, what I'm saying to you is if your leaders can't report this to you, you need to get rid of that. You got to get rid of that service. How you going to support, how you going to grow in this country, for real? Stop trying to be like Christians. We love our Christians, but Muslims shouldn't be ashamed to be socializing worse than Christians, really. Because the Christians, they got buses. They ain't no Creflo Dollar something. He ain't no way you in Creflo Dollar church. You ain't part of his ministry. We ain't trying to be like no Christians, but we got to be free, man. You ain't free. You ain't doing nothing in this new Africa. I've gone to every city. And I'm challenged. I don't see any, what you're saying, your work is so important, I don't see it. The brother that talked to me, he's from Philadelphia. North Philly looked like a war zone. He asked him for leadership, and he can't even lead his block. He can't even lead his house. I'm going to say it. I'm not playing with you, nor am I scared. This ain't no emotion. Ismail represents the spiritual balance in the Quran. And most people think that's spirit because they see spirit. They black. And, you know, African-American, we think spirit. No, the spiritual balance is creating a house for that life. Coming by his feet. Water, Zimzim. Brother said Mecca, but Mecca, you going into religious life. What was Mecca before? Mother of the seas. Water. Your history, Hagar, Ethiopian, your birthright, Dr. Suleiman Yang. We got to stop playing, brothers and sisters. This is one of the world-educated intellectuals. The youth responded like how it was on the, it's funny, the youth hit me up, Imam Alfred knows Dr. Suleiman Yang. This is what Imam Muhammad said in his last magazine, was our friend and ally. He didn't say you was our friend and ally. He said you need to go back to school and learn the Imam class to even know what an Imam is. He said you can't even pack your own local auditorium. We just got to stop playing with this. That's why I'm concluding that we have to stop playing. I'm not playing. We're not fearing the criticism of the criticizer. They won't come out. Look how much empty, since I said stuff on Facebook and other islands, look how empty they are. Look how no congratulations, only the brothers and the real youth that I know from abroad has given me love. But all those guys, look how empty, look how, like Dr. Sharif said during the convention, coming with an ice grilling on the face. Nasty look at each other. We got to bring back love. And to bring back the love, we got to get rid of the hate. We getting rid of the hate by our love. And we won't tolerate people who come among us who project hate. Now, you guys say, oh, the Nation of Islam, they had a lot of this and that going on. Yeah, but there was enough respect for those guys to hide, even the criminal element. They hid what they were doing, like thieves at night. You guys are openly doing this, and the believers are accepting it because they haven't studied Ibrahim yet. They haven't got rid of that sheep out, their nature. And that's why I said, if you're working for your boss and you got more, oh, I work on Friday, like Brother Mujahideen said. He said, Imam was trying to establish stuff in the early days. He said brothers was talking about running back to their job. And one of the brothers, he was trying to speak. You think everybody in that room was our friend? No. But we respect governance. Respect our friend we have in the mosque here. And Wallace Steve Muhammad II. Beautiful brother. He has done more for me than you Imams ever have done, like Imam Alfred Muhammad has done. They have respected you. I didn't have to go through a lot of dialogue. Anything I need, he has given me. Other brothers the same. So what's your problem? You getting caught up in petty backbiting? You talking about what person slept with and all this kind of crap? You talking about all this Mary Povich stuff? Let the people come clean. Every movement I showed you, in every good, the Quran said, Shaitan would try to put his spin on it. So I want you to understand, too, that when it says in the Quran that Satan would come and approach you from the back, left, front, and behind, that's an interpretation also of these sciences in the world. He will put his spin on everything that was made pure in the universe. 360. Hayala salah, hayala falah. You're 360. Protection, slot, production. Now, you notice a lot. We could go all day how they take the spiritual knowledge, but you will fail to see how they made the universal knowledge. When you go to university, your schools, now you're the top teachers teaching your student about certain things that you weren't respecting your religion. When you go into other sciences, your intellect wasn't even respected. So if you believe that that gave us salvation, freedom, justice, equality, then you probably just shouldn't have stood up in the first place. That's not the freedom, justice, equality we the Imam promised. Imam said even when he was in the magazine, he did his last interview on the TV, Tony Brown, one of the interviews, he said the promise I had was freedom, justice, equality. He said an angel gave them that language. I don't hear you promoting that. So I'm bringing Imam Alfred on. We have a respect for governance. The myth in governance is this, that everything is perfect. Your brother told me, he said, oh, there's war in the world, man. All right, look what's going on in Syria. He said, man. So he said, man, why we got a war, brother? See what this brother said? He said, why we got a war? This brother ain't celebrating the fact that people are in other countries war-torn. Before America even gets there, there's abuse on the citizenship. There's abuse even before America get there. Young children in Chicago are killing each other before the government. Well, you know they did this. They sent this at us. Yeah, but what are we doing now? So that means, so he wanted me to be a pacifist. He wanted me to be a pacifist and say, before I bring Alvin on, I just want to say this last thing. He wanted to be a pacifist, wanted me to be a pacifist and say, oh, Islam is against war. He said, same thing everybody tell me about the angel story, how the Allah showed the angel, and the angel, the creation, and said, how could a man, you know, go wrong? And then showed him other creation, how could any man go right? Yeah, that's cool. That was Adam development. But through that, Adam nature was exploited. You wasn't even said you was three-fifths of an Adam. And then why would we have to have Prophet Muhammad, even coming after Jesus, who on one side is talking universal love, but on the other side, making sure he's protecting his people, and it says that you may have to fight, it permits you to fight, even though a Ramadan, if someone attacks you. Now, that's a logical religion. Why? Because Christians in the other nations were more fighters. When you study the Crusades in those era, there was bigger fights in those era by religious so-called people than any other group. There's been so you don't fall asleep and think that all the Muslim world is all dandy, peaches and cream, and you want to give me the same extremes. Remember I talked about the extremes is in the culture. Don't support religion, but support the Black Panthers with your fist up. And the same brothers they gave Hebron in the major cities. Now, if they had the social discipline that was mentioned in the Nation of Islam, hey, I don't know, I don't do drugs. I'm not with that. But you was pumping your fist up, getting high, and you didn't even know you was getting high. Now the brother wanted the religious world, he wanted the Muslim world to be high with him. We don't, oh man, we don't believe in how this government is corrupt. The president, man, the president, I want to adopt the president. Brother, it's not your fight. You don't even have enough investigation on it. You telling me what, you talking about the media is tainted, but you giving me all the reports from the media. Have you been there? Have you been there before the conflict? Have you ever visited? And this is a challenge to all my serious students, without disrespecting you brothers, because I love you brothers. But Imam Muhammad was called to go to certain places for as really standing up for peace. But marching delegations of Saudi Arabia, Yasser Arafat, consulted. We got to stop getting in the habit, when I talk about this relationship with the universe, of going in a place and saying you inherited the books, but you ain't called, nobody calls you to breathe, ease the conflict. And when you go into a place, normally when you look at the Chinese and their engagement with their one leader that went to a place, they have a relationship in that country mostly for life. Materially. But I see our people going to all these places. No relationship with trade. No relationship in, you know, trade opens up you not to do disrespectful things. If you have social responsibility, the money you can use, you could build railroads. You could give jobs in that same nation if you love Syria so much. If you love China so much. Brothers got to wake up. Brothers got to wake up. Stop leading. You don't lead my people to a place that you won't even visit right now. That's cowards. Imam said to you, and I told them at the workshop, and I'm not doing this to be disrespectful. Imam said that if you don't do this, especially during his time, he said there would be youthful, and I say me, but it's others, youthful people who would not be doing the same thing. Who would not operate in the same way. I don't want to say the time of mercy has came out, because this is true mercy. Going upside your head mentally and resisting physical oppression is true mercy. Because what produces out of that will bring the whole new world into creation. Allah says oppression is worse than slaughter. And be not oppressed. And the hand is on the people. Never do they change. You know, if they don't change what was bothering them, then it doesn't change. So when I say stop thinking like Christians, is most of you doing the same thing with Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is going to answer for his time. You don't even want to talk about the Renaissance, as we talked to Dr. Suleiman. You don't even want to talk about what happened after Ethiopian Moors. What was the mistake? You talking about the Sahabas 100, 200 years. You refuse to even visit your own history. You ain't no real revolutionary. You not no real thinker. And that's why the other world, Muslim world, laugh. They just use you as a puppet. Open up the wilderness for me. Yes, brother, get this. This is the truth. Don't turn your back on this community. I'm not going for it, brother. We not going for it. And it got to be strength. You first got to state your position. This is a position. This is not a game. This is not a joke. This is not saying, ha-ha, you keep laughing and being, like I said, you hypocrite, you. And the brothers, oh, man, you know, Ish, man, you ain't hard at the brother. Not, man, I'm telling the truth, man. Men respond to your ability. Man, Muhammad, brother Mujahideen, on my way there, he told me to show me a tape in 1977. The brother was talking and while the man was in. The man said, don't, you know, you shouldn't be talking when I'm talking. This is the type of leader we had. Went to the FOI meeting and told them they was going to call Chicago. He said, you going to call Chicago? I am Chicago. Imam got on stage. It was a bunch of people behind him. He said, these sissies behind you. The brother told me Houston, Atlanta, oh, they have such a slum. I said, brother, I love those, a lot of those brothers, and this is my brother from Houston. But I had to tell him the truth. I said, those brothers you talking about giving that you mentioned to me, they're sissies. What you mean, sissies? They don't want you to have any material establishment. Amen. When he went to that area, he talked about giving back the prayer rugs. Give them back the dicker beads. When me and Mujahideen went to the convention, we made Salat. We got there a little late because we came off the road. They was rolling up the carpets. I said, let's make Salat on the floor. That's when the sisters say, oh, man, these brothers arrived. That's when your woman will say you arrived. And you got your woman, you saying something. You ain't got no respect for your woman wearing somebody else's garments. You ain't got no respect for your woman. Got to go to somebody else's facility, get your dicker beads. You ain't got no respect for your woman. Got to go across the Houston, Dar Salaam, to buy your hadith, your reports. Like Imam Alfred said, hadith science is Bukhari wouldn't even accept a report from a man and his feet is donkey. And you brothers running around like donkeys. You are the donkey. We ain't got no time for that. That's the only reason I'm speaking this hard. I spent 20, 30 plus years just quiet, listening to people, observing the leadership, hoping they would catch it, hoping they would say, being quiet, being patient. I'm not a disrespectful person. But we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to do this in some of the major cities, and it's going to be called No Dresses Allowed. Yes, you could tell them. You could tell them. You think I'm scared, sister? Say, oh man, you might. There's other brothers out there, you know. They Muslim, brother. I've been out here in the streets doing security. You think most of these brothers, and I'm gonna be real with you. I gotta tell you like it is. I'm not gonna lie to you. Most of these brothers, my brother partner Wayne, what he told Alfred. I remember a time when the nation, you know, y'all didn't just take anybody. Now we know we giving respect and justice, but do you know you got homosexuals wearing them dresses, brothers that they whole life they was doing. And no disrespect to the homosexual community, but I'm just telling you that's what a lot of brothers who struggle with that. They supposed to be Muslim? Their brothers struggling with that. Now they have an imam that's talking that way in D.C. Now, what I'm saying is Allah says someone in that lifestyle, we use it, pure for the pure, impure for the impure. Now, you need to be, if you do change, because I can't say that you won't change. I'm not here to disrespect you. But there's a lot of sisters that are in the strip clubs in those major cities like that, corrupted cities. You need to go find those sisters. Don't marry the virgin child. Don't find one of them sisters, and you go flourish. But stop looking for the virgin. And I'm telling you like it is. I'm not telling you what it should be. I'm telling you like it is. So you, sister, you think when I have my, you think I'm scared, you think I'm really thinking about a person that can't establish himself in his own neighborhood in Philadelphia? I'm right in Philly. You think I'm scared of a person that in Harlem that can't establish his own neighborhood? Brothers with all that, wearing, selling cocaine, selling heroin, and you want to fight for them when they get caught? We got one no-worry brother in that movement. He get caught, and now you want to fight for him. Oh, the brother was just changing his life. He's the rapper. Nah, man, he's using you as a scapegoat. That's why the gangster kids say, always tell me. They say, Ismael, I respect you. You're a real Muslim. That's what they tell me. You ain't like the rest of these brothers. We know these brothers. Yeah, you know them. They ain't living that life. So we going to tell the men, there's no disrespect. We saying, don't come in our meeting. We having one for a man. We have a meeting for the public, too. You could come to that. We ain't having no more of these guys disrupting our meetings, trying to put us on a solid feet. We got a debate for you. You want to debate with both mics, you could come. And I guarantee, amen, Alfred and others, I got some other, they'll spank you worse than Joe Frazier. Got spanked. I'm just telling you for real, intellectually. No violence, intellectually. When we say no dress a lot, we don't want violence either. You're our Muslim brother. It's just you can't handle this response. You got to go back and clean up yourself first. Now we have brothers like the great Sherman, the doctor, well, I want to say great, Dr. Sherman Jackson talking about a third resurrection with our community. And I got the letter. I'll read that next to you. He sent to me in my email last night talking about how they, Imam Muhammad was the light and they missed it in some ways. They used to just spend more time laughing at him, laughing at the community the way they said they would recite Al-Fatiha. And a brother asked from Houston. He asked me my take on it. I said, oh, no problem. We got something with Derwent Sherman. Yeah, I know. I said, but I had not the Naeem Akbar. That's who I respect. I'm a respect a brother who ain't even, no disrespect to him, but how I'm going to look at him as a Muslim scholar? And his whole name is signals that he didn't even make a name change. Now, I'm not disrespecting the brother, but I'm saying that he's seeing us now. That's what this is about. He's seeing the movement now. What's happening in the Imam's community? These brothers are moving. What's going on? Now can we make it? And I told him I would have work for him to clean his own up. But inshallah, when he get out, Imam Alfred, if you there.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah, I wish the believers a beautiful, prideful, but not over pride, but just stand up. Have joy. Submit, too. But when you submit, Allah is telling you, you can stand. So submit, but stand up. After you submit to the Creator, go out. Have that pride. Don't be scared to say, I feel good. You feel good. Optimistic about the future. I'm optimistic. I said, goodness is on the rise. The brother that I'm talking about, the people I'm talking about, you always will come around you to make you think you're missing something, you lack something. That's the scheme. What are we going to do? Since he mentioned, what are we going to do with Obama? What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do? What you going to do? And I'm tired of talking to you. I've been talking to you for about 5 years. Ain't nothing come out of my talks with you. I'm going to keep real. If I listen to you, I'll be somewhere in a mental house. That's why I'm not playing with it, because there's a lot of innocent believers who would listen to you and don't have no social responsibility. You're not going to like everything you and the family member get. That's why Allah said get married. Because when you marry, you ain't everything in peaches and cream. You ain't going to have no disagreements. The first time you get disagreement, you want to turn your back on the leadership. First time you don't like something that's stroking your ego, you want to get out of there. We got to get to work. Imam Alfred sometimes offers me a different idea than the way I thought of. But I submit myself and say, you know what? That's a better idea. Sometimes it's the same with him. You guys is not like that. Your ego ain't being stroked, ain't your idea. You run out the house. You ain't going to help me. I ain't going to forget them, the brothers. They ain't accept what I'm saying. You got to get to work. And you ain't even qualified to lead. I'm telling you. I'm telling like it is. You feel bad about it. Hey, you feel bad about it. The youth don't feel like what you feeling. I know that. I speak to them. We employ 30 of them that run with us. Alhamdulillah, good brothers. And it's just growing. But I'm telling you, get away from my sisters. Get away from the children. I'm protecting. We protecting that. Yes, sir. We're not letting you play with them. No more position papers. One of the imams I criticized about the 300 men that wouldn't even throw, he gave me a five-page position paper. Now, if I got caught in there, I'd still be looking at his. I don't want to look at those papers no more. Tired of talking. A lot of these Imam Muhammad communities with us, with the workers, with the builders, with the thinkers, with the ones who are acting. He ain't with the philosophical masturbation brothers. Masturbation, because what is masturbating? Allah said he know in the Quran what you was doing with yourself before you had a wife. You what you was. You wasn't producing. You was what you were doing. Masturbating. No production. This gay thing, I'm going to tell you about this homosexual thing. It's not, for the public, you think it's sexual. It's not sexual. It's not about sexuality. Well, yeah, I don't, see, that's something else. We looking in the Quran, when you look at it, it's about nature and production. And I'll let you be the judge of what it's saying. Not producing. And it's why materialists support it. I don't want to share the world with you. Why share the world with you? I have my own vision of this world and my sons and my... I don't, see, let them not produce. So I'm not playing with those kind of guys. It has everything to do with business coming together. Everything to do. And so this You and I conference, God willing, God bless. Dude, this is beautiful. I mean, now that it's moving like that, I'm just telling the people what to stay on guard with because it's so beautiful, the support we have. Allah is behind this. It's not me. So Allah is behind many of the moves that I make. Allah is, I wouldn't be thinking about them. Allah presents. And he makes me enact, no. That gets a lot. Allah gives you the salah. He gives you the prayer. He gives you the guidance. But you got to enact. You got to wake up. You got to do it. Take one step towards him, seven. So what we saying is, what you talking about? You talking about taking steps, or you talking about talking? You talking about being with your brothers with a plan, or you the wisest man on the earth, seventh wisest man on earth? You brothers disgust me, man. I'm going to be real with you. You brothers disgust me. Yeah, I could say it. One brother comes, he speaks, he spoke to us one time, and he was coming to, he's speaking to us like we 97. I told the brother, we ain't the Farrakhan. Brother, we ain't Farrakhan. You talking to us like we don't know the Quran. Mujahideen and these brothers are products of Cloud Muhammad School. You ain't talking to somebody 1975 struggling with the teachers of the Nation of Islam. You talking to a brother that all we know is W.D. Muhammad. All we talk is W.D. Muhammad. All we know is the Quran. Stop being scared of yourself. Stop going outside because you see somebody with a brown beard and dress and becoming intimidated. I know what he was doing up north most of the time. Yeah, he was. You stop looking at that. They ain't produce anything. Could they even produce? Are they even producing a factory of oil? You even producing an oil factory here? Hey, come on, Tupac, one of your leaders to the youth, because the youth is here. Tupac said, first they wanted me to go to war. I couldn't go to war. He said, why? Because I needed money. He said, now I got the money. I got the finance. I'm ready to go to war. So how am I be thinking I'm not even in these people category you thinking about. They not even on earth to me, man. I'm telling you, your leaders that you talk about, they not even on earth to me. Same thing with a rapper. His sister said, oh, Miss Mahal, you coming at the Muslim rappers, you know, you selling a lot of units. I said, I'm respecting the Muslim rappers, but I'm not thinking about the Muslim rappers. I'm thinking about Jay-Z. I'm thinking about, that's who he listened to. Let's keep it real. I wasn't listening to these brothers. The youth ain't listening to these brothers. I'm trying to distract. We have a strategy. That's what I'm trying to say. If you see yourself as just a small house, then you only think about your little masjid. You see yourself on earth. Imam Muhammad said in a dialogue he gave, one of his last speeches, he said that they need to learn Islam truthfully so they wouldn't just try to rule the people in these local places. He said then they would not be so scared. If they had more knowledge of what this is appealing to, what the Islam is saying, they wouldn't try to keep the people locked in a local city. That's what they're doing to you. That's what they're doing. They sitting there, oh, man, I don't want to do Houston. That's my car. Atlanta, New York. Southwest this, Northwest this. Man, what that's doing? Y'all can't even have a United E. What you doing? Paralysis of analysis. We talking action. You got to denote people. Credibility. Sorry, brother, we love you, but get in the back. Imam says, stop letting that brother in the back talk or tell them, yo, brother, we got men here. You got to go to the back. That's what unity does. That's what we're doing. You're letting a bunch of feminine men lead, and then you wonder why the sisters in your message is changing. Why they not listening to the men in them community. But you got a bunch of sissies leading you. My father didn't rule our house like that. And he didn't have to do it through force. It's not talking about beating people. My father didn't have to hit us. When a man presence is, men respect a presence. We respect the presence. What you learned in that fruit class? What you learned if you couldn't change the direction with the imam? And we have to march like Imam Alfred is saying. We can't just keep everything in the internet. We have to go back on these cities. We have an economic plan. We have to start marching. Like, I sell my CDs. I go to everybody's house, man. Jay-Z did that. You looking at Jay-Z, oh, Jay-Z, this one, that one. 50 Cent, they started at the back of their trunk going to everybody in that neighborhood house. You was more successful when you was selling Muhammad Speaks and going to everybody's neighbor's house. Did the imam say stop that for the Muslim Journal? Did he say stop those efforts? But how could you get even noted about the Muslim Journal if you don't come out, if you in your little sports spectrum? So what we got to do is we got 2.5 million, like I mentioned, probably more. And most of them ain't going to these messages. Let's keep it real. Most of our people are dissatisfied and stay home and that. So this is for you. This is what I'm talking, not for the men. They heard this 30-plus years. So we want you to understand we love you. You're our people. We need, like the brother gave us so much beautiful dialogue in the beginning of the broadcast, explain his work. We want you to come out. We want to build with you. We want to have conversation with you. We want to protect each other, you and us. We need our unity to protect ourselves. Do you know that if you sleep and sleep home, corruption will come into the nation? Don't you know that? Do you know that's what the Founding Fathers were doing when they had their historical meetings and protecting the unity of America, United States of America? Don't listen to no one. Don't listen to it. We 400 years been exploited out of that nature. 400 years they've been playing with that unity. We had Black Wall Street, destroyed that. Had the colleges, destroying that. Had black music, destroying that. You, as a Muslim, should have more understanding of your rational moral life that's mentioned in the Salat of Juma and Quran, the two-fifths of that they took out of you, creativity that's in the rational mind. And you should be they should see you, like Imam said, you should be a sign to the world. You should be getting so busy that the world should say, wow, we can't deny those brothers again. Whew. They a sign that God has come. Look at the way they working in this nation. Look what they doing. Woo! They got ships. The president said natural energy, you got natural energy ships. People talking about Detroit, you come in Detroit building plants, new energy, electricity. There is a new technology that I'm announcing, that I'm a part of, and any brother that wants to be a part of it with me, called granite. But it won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2012. Your new cell phones are going to be charging in 10 minutes instead of an hour. Your Cloud Muhammad School children should be exposed. Natural energy, way better than the battery. The battery is going to be extinct. Your battery in your car, your cell phone, look it up. Look it up. Google it. Is your man exposed to that? Is your imam exposed to that universe that's mentioned in the Quran? The Arabs even look at oil. Oh, man, oil, there's corruption money. That's what you see. You think Allah let something grow from that earth and that's corrupted? It's just like any other tool. If you have a corrupted heart, you can do bad with it. You have a good heart, you can do a lot of good with it. Imam said they should be turning gardens with that oil. So it's not the oil that's corrupted. But at the flip side, you have to study your universe. You have all the spirit. You have all the goodness. You have all that the preacher so eloquently puts, the wine, the drunkenness, mentioned in the story of Jonah. Going to sleep because you have the message. You had the message to tell the white man he was the devil. That's what you thought. But we fell asleep next to the King things. 1960s to now, you fell asleep. Wake up, my people. That's all I want. I want you just to wake up because I love you. I love you more than you think.
Yes, sir, brother.
Love calls. Universal love. Universal brotherhood. Love. And the brother said, he said, you talking and calling his brother out. This is when we was online. I said, because I love the brother. You brothers, we listen to the brother that we know is corrupted. My mother told me, when you look at the mother, the man's supposed to be like a mother, mean, right? Now, my mother didn't let me run over her because she loved me. Now, the mother that lets the child run over him, you know what the child say when he's 15? Because I've met these children. I have a lot of them. I've seen them in the neighborhood. So, oh, Ma, you never loved me. You ain't. She fed him Kool-Aid. She let him do everything. Stay out 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Then when he get above 8, man, Ma, you ain't love me. You let me do anything on you. You ain't have no love for me. She's like, oh, all I did is. No, you tried to pacify him. You helped him. That's why we call that a pacifier. When a child is crying, you just put a pacifier in the child's mouth. Ain't feeding the child. Just because he's crying. You got to start feeding these people. And while you feeding their rational knowledge and their moral life, the moral life has to be fed. Get out of here. Stop doing that. Get away from us with that. This is the Imam Muhammad community. We don't know what you're talking about. We ain't looking for no leader like you're talking about in the sky. And it ain't going to be you. Sorry. Move on. It ain't going to be Earl Abdul Malik. You took enough property. You took enough possessions. I'll tell you, yes. I'm going to tell you. He ain't playing with you.
That's right.
You ain't playing with the believers.
That's
tell
right.
Brother, I say the same thing Imam told him. Get out of here. Get away from me. You think it's a coincidence he can't show his face? You think it's a coincidence another mainstream man ain't showing their face? Brother told me, oh, you know they send people. Brother, I work for the government, man. I send some people at them.
That's right.
Leave me alone. Stop being these punks, man. That's all I gotta say. Stop being punks.
That's right.
These wimps.
That's right.
We gotta build this up, man. This deals with social responsibility. That's all I'm saying. I know when you on Wall Street and you wrecked with fraud, I know if you on Wall Street and all these issues, they come to your house with put you on credit reports, you get jailed under the jail.
That's right.
Go
we
ahead.
Have 2 more minutes, Brother Ishmael, and
I love it, man. It's needed for this. I mean, it's needed, brother. Trust me. We waking up, man. We heard the call. We heard the call, bro.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Myth and governance. That's the name of the part. This is part one. Social responsibility, part one. Myth and governance. The part of the biggest myth that in governance that I'll just conclude is that this is an all perfect, nothing. Everything is gonna go according to your plan and not a law plan. Everything is good and all good, and that's why people don't want to support because they don't want labor pains like convention symbolized. Some of the people, not all the people, they don't want no labor pains. Their ideas ain't celebrated. I'm going home. I don't get a chance to talk on the stage. I'm not showing up.
That's right.
Go ahead,
Brother Ishmael. We're not out of message, but we are out of doubt.
Yes, sir. No problem.
Thank you, Brother Ishmael, businessman, Muslim man of the year. We're going to conclude the program now. We thank you and we expect you back tomorrow at 6 o'clock on Religion Means Alive. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive.